Testing, testing. Yes. Awesome. Okay, I have no idea how this thing is going to go. Not speaking. I'm not really too worried. I just this earpiece here. And so, in the middle of speaking, if I just happen to throw it to the ground or something, don't really worry about that. I've never used one of these before like this, so I'm trying to find the right spot. I know this is awkward. I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. That can everyone hear me? Okay. Honestly. Okay, we're good. Okay, before I start, I'm going to do a couple of, I guess, housekeeping, a couple of things. I want to give a thank you for Taylor and I for this summer for allowing us. I'm Dylan Holsenbach, and Taylor Thomas is we've been the youth interns this summer, so we want to say thank you for the opportunity to work with the youth, to work with the kids. It's been great. It's been a great summer, and I can't believe how fast it's gone by. I remember when I was sitting here, and my friend Austin was speaking, and I feel like that was just yesterday. When Austin Messer was the intern, I was sitting up there. So that's just blown my mind how quickly it's gone by. So we want to say thank you for that, and thank you to everyone who has helped in some way, shape, or form, whether that be driving a bus or coming to an event. Seriously, parents and the church, thank you for that, because that has been a blessing. To be able to call on people, something that stood out to me were some of the times when we would ask, hey, would you mind teaching this class, or would you help? Even if someone couldn't, it was, no, but I appreciate you asking me. Seriously, I'm on vacation, but I appreciate you asking me. If we didn't know that, and so I didn't want to interrupt their vacation, but still, I thought that was awesome. I'm also going to be doing this throughout. My mouth gets dry. Also, Dwayne's lesson this morning, judge not. I sweat a lot, so I'm probably just going to sweat straight through my clothes. And so if you judge me, then you'll have eternal sweat glands, just worse than mine. I think that's how that works. Okay, and then I'm going to get used to it. I can actually move. I keep feeling like I'm connected to this, so I feel like if I let go, it's going to... So I'm holding on for dear life. So, sorry, I'm also very random on if you can't figure that out yet. And this is kind of itching my ear. Okay, now we're in. So, I'm talking about a story tonight, a story that interests me a lot, and it's a story that convicted me, and that's why. And so this isn't something where I want to just preach something at you tonight. This is something that I felt once I read the story again, and that is Judas, of Judas. And so immediately when we think of Judas, we think of all the negativity, and rightly so, because of the betrayal of Jesus. But when you look at the lead-up and when you look at everything that happened, the encompassing nature of this story, then there are a lot of interesting things that go on. So if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 26 with me. Matthew chapter 26. Now, again, like I said, rightfully so, Judas kind of gets a bad rap. How do you really live down the whole betraying Jesus thing, okay? That's not really something that's easy to shake off your reputation. And it's notable, and it's terrible. And if we believe what we believe about Jesus Christ, then that hurts us to know that someone would do something like that. But one thing that I've tried to do as of late when I've been reading Scripture, and the older I've gotten, the more I've wanted to take myself and try to put myself in the situation in Scripture, whatever is happening. Now, I understand some of it, you cannot do that. Feasibly, I can't put myself in a leper spot or something like that. But when something goes on that I don't really completely understand the nature or understand what's really happening fully, I try to say, well, what kind of would be going through a normal person's mind in this situation? At this point in time, really, what would be going on in Judas's mind and in Jesus's mind? Not that I can know everything that they know. It's just I try my best. I try my best. And so when you look at that story in this way, it's really sad. It's really sad. It's really sad for the fact that, one, if we believe what we believe about Jesus Christ, then our Savior is crucified and died a wrongful death. So that's frustrating, and that's upsetting. But also, if you look at it from Judas, it's just sad, the turn of events and what happens. So I'm going to start just the setting. We know the setting. We know the story. We know the crucifixion. Really, okay, what happens? Jesus is led away and crucified wrongfully, a wrongful death. But this whole setting right here where all this is about to go down with Judas is what, okay? All these people, these chief priests, these elders, they are wanting Jesus Christ dead, okay? They want Jesus Christ dead and gone. They want Jesus out of the picture, away. They don't want to deal with Jesus. He's frustrating them. All right? He's frustrating them. They are frustrated. Judas is one of the 12. This is where it hits home. This is where it kind of hurts. Judas is one of the 12 who has been with Jesus through his ministry, through this time, several years of following someone who does, if you believe this, if you believe that Jesus was going around and performing miracles and healing people and raising people from the dead and doing all these things, and you're in his posse, you're in his 12, you're in that group where you're getting to actually witness these things, good night. How awesome would that be? Really, like, what an opportunity. I'm thinking, when I'm reading this, you know, I would love to just, you just are with Jesus as he goes about and does his ministry for several years. So that's where we're sitting. Judas is right there, front row seat to what Jesus is doing, to Jesus' ministry. What Jesus would consider a friend. What Jesus would consider a friend. So this is our setting, okay? And that setting makes this story so much more interesting and so sad at the same time. Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16. I'm going to jump around just a few. And there are different Matthew, Mark, Luke. There are different accounts of what happens, different perspectives on Judas and how Judas feels and what Judas says and what Judas does. This one, to me, in Matthew, describes it in a good way. I'm also reading from the NIV, just for a heads up, just in case. So verse 14. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests. Went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. Not a lot. Not a whole lot. So they count out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Okay, the thing that stands out to me in that verse is Judas went. So something within Judas's heart said, I'm not only just going to kind of make this decision just on a whim, it's I went to these people myself and I asked them, what can I do to turn this guy in, kind of. You know, what can I do? I'm coming to them and I'm asking the question, seriously, you know, you got anything for me? You got anything for me? Because I'll, you know, I know him pretty well. I know him pretty well. So, you know, I'm probably a good in if you needed that. So he goes to them. That disturbs me. That bothers me to think about. To think about someone who is a friend, who is with them. Think about someone that is close to you that has been your friend for years and then goes away to betray you. Seeks that out. Something changed in Judas's heart. Something changed. Judas also, just to... I know we... sorry, I'm having to adjust this thing multiple times. It's getting all in my ear. So, Dwayne, respect for this right here. I also was scared when I got here that this was going to be on too, so I would get the shriek, and then everyone would be terrified, and then I would... You know, this place would set on fire. I don't know. It's just all kinds of terrible things that go through your mind as you're speaking. So, there's the random. Sorry. I know I'm serious, and then here we go with all of this. That's okay. That's okay. We'll get back to it. So, Judas also... is in charge of the money, okay? Judas is in charge of the money and kind of is scraping some of that off of the top, just kind of into his own pocket. So Judas has a love for money. Judas has a love for silver. This next setting disturbs me as well. I'm already bothered that he would go and he would ask, that he would go to these people and he would ask. The next one really gets me. It's dinner time. It's the Lord's Supper. Okay, not just dinner time, it's the Lord's Supper. This is so significant in our faith as to what this time symbolizes, to what the Lord's Supper symbolizes, and the events that occur there. Dinner, an intimate time where he has the 12 together and he's talking to them. He's talking to them, he's sharing with them, he's saying, I'm not going to be on this earth for much longer. And you're going to see that. But let's read that story together. So chapter 26, we're just going to read 20 through 30. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Okay, we'll just stop right there. Already, this is where I'm putting myself in their shoes, okay? I'm putting myself in their shoes. I'm saying, what is going through Judas's mind right now? What is going through Jesus's mind right now? Seriously, if you had just gone and sought out and asked, "Hey, may I, 30 coins? Okay, we'll figure this thing out, you know? Boom, 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 we're good." As I'm sitting there and Jesus says, "One of you is going to betray me." And I know in the back of my mind what's already occurred. What kind of, right? That little cringe, that little gut feeling. That is no fun. "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Then verse 22. So everyone's upset. Everyone's like, "What's going on? No way, man. Right? We've been with you for years. That's not going to happen." So they were very sad and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Okay, I'm Judas. I'm hearing all of this. And then verse 25, this is just a complete uppercut to the gut right here. This is just, I mean, if you are Judas, this hurts. This hurts. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Right? Right? Not me. Jesus, not me. And then Jesus says, "Yes, it is you." I'm a blunt person. I like blunt. I do. I like when someone tells me something bluntly. I say things bluntly. And he says, "Yes, yeah, that is you. You are going to do that." "Surely not I." "No way, Jesus, right?" "Yeah. Yeah, it's you, man. I know that." Are you kidding? How is Judas feeling? And the worst part, this story just gets worse. The story just gets worse. So yeah, it is you. Okay? So he basically says, "Fake." There's no other way to say that. Right in his face, right then, he says, "You're a fake. Judas, you're a fake. There's no way around that. I'm calling your bluff. I'm calling your lie. Here it is. That's fake, what you said to me." So then, how important is this? And this is, like I said, this is why it bothers me. Such an intimate time where Jesus says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, offered it to them. "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day, that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. When they sung a hymn. Also, if you're sitting there, did they sing a song together too? Did they sing a song together too? Did Jesus just do that? Did Jesus just tell him, "You know, man, I get it. I know what you're going to do." And then did they sing too? Did they sing a song together? Sing a hymn right after Jesus says, "Seriously, I'm doing this for all of you, even you, Judas. I'm doing this for all of you, even you. I'm doing this for all of humankind." Disturbs me. It bothers me. The thing about, I really hate when people lie to me. That's just a personal thing. You know, this is just for me. I really dislike when people lie to me. It frustrates me. It hurts me. And so when I read this story, I'm just like, man, I would be so mad. I would be so frustrated. And the story just gets worse. Okay. All of this is going on. Turn over to Matthew. We're still in 26, not far over. We're going to 47, verse 47. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47. Okay, so all of this is going on. This has just happened. Peter's just denied him. Okay, Peter's just denied Jesus. He can't catch a break, right? This whole lead up, people are trying to kill him already. He knows that. You're having to avoid that. That's frustrating. You're stressed out. How stressful is that? He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay, where all of this goes down, where Jesus has just been praying, where he gets to the point of sweating drops of blood, which is a real thing that can happen, which is also scary. And so you're just, this is just such a stressful time, and you're so frustrated, and wow, this just, man, what a, you know, pull the knife out of my back while you're at it after that, and it just gets worse. So we're in verse 47, all right? So we're in the garden. He's just kind of gotten on to the disciples a little bit for falling asleep a few times on him in the garden in a row, okay? So we're in verse 47. Right before that, in verse 46, "Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." He knows it's time. This is the part that kills me. This was when the conviction hit. This was when I got the idea for the sermon. This is when all this happened, was when I read this one again. And just, if I was Jesus and if I am Judas, this is just such a terrible encounter that goes down. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. So already, I mean, we have a mob. We've got a mob on our hands. There's Judas in the front, and we have a mob as weapons. We've got all kinds of stuff. Not looking for a fun time. Now the betrayer, now we're talking about Judas. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Are you kidding me? Oh, it just makes me sick. That's the part that just makes me sick. It's just like, a kiss? You could have just said, "There he is," you know? You could have just said, "There he is." It says, going at once to Jesus, Judas says, "Greetings, Rabbi." Mwah! And kissed him. "Greetings, Rabbi. Are you serious?" And then Jesus gives, ultimately, William was joking with me earlier. I gave a little illustration of this at camp, and it was just a few smacks in the face. Seriously, because this response can be nothing other than that, where Jesus says, "Friend, do what you came for." Ouch. That is the hit to the... You're Judas, okay? Again, we don't want to be Judas, but seriously, try to be Judas for 1 second. We've all messed up. We've all turned our back on someone. And we've all turned our back on Jesus at some point in time. We've sinned. We've fallen short of the glory. I know Judas sins in a different way, but we've all sinned in some way. We've all turned our back in some way. We've fallen short, okay? We're all in need of Christ. We're all in need of Christ. But this is something else. "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. "Friend, do what you came for." What is Judas thinking right there? What is Judas thinking? My heart hurts to think, seriously, before, when they're sitting at the table, that has to hurt, you know? Just, "You're going to be the one. I know you're the one. I know you're going to betray me." And then right after, just a kiss that you know is the fakest kiss of all time, and just the biggest smack in the face, where Jesus already said, "I already called your bluff," and then you come up and kiss me. You know what? Really, man, you could have done anything else. And he kisses him. "Friend, do what you came for." That hurts. That hurts. You know, I can't help but think he was right there. He's right under your nose, man. He's right. You're seeing him. You're with him. You're friends with Jesus. You lucky dog. That's how I am. You're friends with Jesus. Just get your stuff together, man. Just hang out with the guy. Learn from the guy. He's gonna die for you. I want to scream all these things at Judas. Just get your stuff together. Just get your stuff together, man. Seriously, just get it together. Look at what he's going to do for you. Can you not see? But I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it through my, the narrative's over. It's done. I've read the story. I've read the end. I've already read the end of the book. I know what happens. I already know what happens. But it's like, man, just, gosh, I would just kill for the opportunity to just sit there and see Jesus heal somebody, or teach, to be able to sit there and listen to him while he's teaching to all these people and saving people. I mean, seriously, just such an awesome thing. And you say, he's right there. He's right in front of you, Judas. He's right in front of you, Judas. What you're supposed to do is right in front of you. Okay? That's kind of how I feel about it. What you're supposed to do, you just follow him. You just love like Jesus. But isn't that the same thing for us today? And we still fall short of it. We still fall short of it. Isn't it the same thing, though? It's right in front of us. We come to church every Sunday and Wednesday, and we go do service projects. We go do different things. We know we're supposed to live like Jesus. That's what we're told. That's what we read. That's what we believe. We're supposed to do this, but do we carry it out? But how often do we turn our backs? I mean, we do it. We do it. We fall. It's a different way. It's a different way. But we all fall short of the glory of God. We really do. We really do. So it's right under our, it's right under us too. The word of God is right here. It says love people. What Twain talked about this morning, I really, really like that lesson. Seriously, all around though, these things are in front of us. What did Jesus do? Jesus loved these people. And still when these people smacked him in the face, he died for them. Judas just smacked him right in the face. I mean, front hand, back hand. Multiple times. He does it over and over, and he still died for him, and he still loves people. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus did, was love people. Love people. Care for people. We're supposed to do the same thing. We're supposed to do, that's right in front of us. That's right in front of us. I can say it all the time. What do you believe? Well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he came and he died for my sins. I believe all of these things. Well, live it out. We'll live it out. Let's love. Let's love the people around us. Let's care for the people around us. Oh, man. Friend, do what you came for. Then they come arrest Jesus. Then they come arrest Jesus, and it goes from there. Again, I'm just painting a different picture. Okay, I'm just trying to paint a little bit of a different picture. I get it. Like Judas is almost like a different level. It's like, man, how did you betray Jesus versus us sinning? You know, sin is sin, people. Like we mess up, and we are all here as sinners in need of God's grace. And I'm thankful for that we can come together as a body and say we are not perfect people. And we can worship, and people can come forward. I'm encouraged when someone comes forward. It's not a, I wonder what they did. It's a, me too. Me too. Okay? Seriously, me too. I'm in need of God's grace too. I understand. Okay? We may be going through different situations, but it's before it was like, you know, we look like meerkats. Seriously, like in the pew sometimes it's like, what's going on? You know, seriously, like what's happening? Going down when someone comes up and it's like, man, you know, I admire that. I do. I admire that. We're all in need of God's grace. All in need of God's grace. Okay, let me just bring this home just a little bit. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. This is where it's really sad. You know, like I said, we've read it before. We know the end of the story. We know what happens to Jesus. Jesus ultimately is led away and is crucified and dies for our sins to fulfill what the Word of God says. Okay, but I can't help still. At first, you know, there is nothing I would have liked to have done more in some of these situations than just punch Judas straight in the mouth. I mean, there's no way, or I'm not going to use any other kind of wording, honestly. There's nothing more I would rather do. That's really frustrating to me. Just if I'm in Jesus' shoes. If I've got somebody that's right there that wants to do that, I know that's kind of a harsh way to put it. It's just I'm frustrated. I'm this, that, or the other. Seriously, though, man, I'm really frustrated, but the more I've read this, the more I hurt for Judas, because he made a mistake. He made a drastic mistake, but he just made a mistake that was very different from some of the ones we make. Very different, loving Jesus. But still I hurt because he realizes it right here, because he realizes it. So Matthew 27, verse 1 through 5. So he sees everything that goes down right here. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Okay. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. He brought it back. You know, do we bring things back to God, really? Do we mess up and do we say, God, just please take this from me. I'm sorry that I've done this. I need repentance. Please help. God, please, you know, please help me. He was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priest. I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood. And their response kills me. This situation is just terrible all around. What is that to us? They replied, that's your responsibility. What is that to us? That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. That's so sad. That's so sad. Such a sad thing. They say, what is that to us? Really, man, that's on you. All right, you came to us. I mean, we gave you 30 silver coins, whatever. But, dude, that is on you, okay? That doesn't matter to us. That's all on you. That's all on you. That's your responsibility. So seized with remorse that he comes back and not only tries to give it back, he says, I realize I can't really get back what I did. That how many times have we wanted to get something back that we've done? You know, or take that thing back. I want to take that. I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, I wish I could take that back from me. I wish I could take that back. I wish I was wiser in that moment. But they say, what is that to us? That's your responsibility. So he says, here's that money. I don't want it. I messed up. The end. And he takes his own life. Takes his own life. That's on you. Jesus doesn't say that's on you to us. Does he? Jesus says, I love you. I'm here for you. I've died for you. You can be washed in my blood in the waters of baptism, and I can forgive you of those sins. But what is it? I said, Judas the silver, how often do we come to church on Sunday, or we claim our faith, we do these things, and we give Christ a kiss on Sunday. Mwah! Right? I'm here. Y'all saw it. Everyone here saw me give the... I'm here in church. I give a kiss on Sunday, but I have my own silver. I have my own things that run my life. Those are the things. Ultimately, Judas thought that silver was going to satisfy him. Judas thought that silver was enough for him. He said, 30 coins is enough for my relationship with Christ to be essentially done. Gone. Ultimately, for him to be crucified. That's what it's worth. In the moment, right now, monetarily, I think 30 silver coins is all that I want. That's going to sustain me. But that consumed him. It didn't sustain him. That consumed him. So we come... How often, though, do we, the same thing, different, we come to church, we kiss on Sunday, it's like, I love you, on Sunday, and then we go out, and the rest of the week, we're living for our silver. We're living for our things, whatever that is. Insert what can run your life there. Whether that's money, whether that's a hobby, honestly, or a thing that just can consume you, or selfishness, whatever that is my silver, that is my thing, that I will turn my back on Jesus Christ. Four, throw away your silver and run to God. We don't have to throw away our silver in the same way that Judas did. Okay, Judas is finally seized with remorse. He's hurting because he says, I messed up. We can do the same thing. But it's seriously, I don't want this silver anymore, Jesus. I don't want this anymore. Save my life, and I want to be yours. I want to be yours. We don't have to be fakes. We don't have to be fakes like Judas. To be able to just greet with the kiss and then turn our backs. We don't have to say, surely not me, right? Surely not me. I'm not letting sin run my life. I'm not letting this thing run my life. And then Jesus says, yeah, yeah, you are. Surely not I, Rabbi. Right? Take your silver. We can take those things that are hurting us, those things that consume our lives, those things that we put at the front of our lives. We've all done it in some way, shape, or form. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in coming together as broken people. That's what we are doing, seriously. We're here. We worship. We believe in this Jesus because of the redemptive nature of Christ. There's no shame in struggling in these things. It's what do I do with that? Am I going to take that silver, the struggle, whatever that is, am I going to throw that away and am I going to turn back to God? Or am I just going to let that run my life? What's most important to you, your silver or your relationship with God? What is? Now, I don't want to say this and this just be a message of just like, hey, if you've got silver, you know, like if you've got that thing, throw it out. And then just everyone just, you know, be this very guilty. Seriously, it's okay. Like Jesus says, come to me if you're broken. Come to me if you're hurting because I love you and I care for you. And if you believe that, then that's a great thing. That's a thing to rejoice in. Christ's love is a thing to rejoice in. So that's what I say tonight is take those things. Take that silver, whatever that is. Let's not just give Christ a kiss on Sunday. Let's live our life of love like Christ did. Live our life of love and take those things away because we can. Because we can. Because of Jesus. That's all this is. I don't want this to be a, you know, like, you should. It's just, Jesus says, I love you. And that's the message here, is even the people who smacked me in the face, who punched me in the stomach, who turned their back, who rubbed dirt on me, who spat on me, who beat me, who crucified me, I love those people. I can't wrap my mind around that fully. I can wrap my mind around love, though. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. If you need prayers tonight, if silver has, whatever your silver is, if that has been running your life, if that thing has maybe consumed you, has taken over your mindset, your feelings, Jesus is open armed. Jesus is open armed. He's waiting. He cares for you. He loves you. If you're in need of prayers, if you need to talk to somebody, if you need to study with someone, we ask that you'd come at this time as we stand and sing.